he essentially said to me, "I'm surprised your motherly instincts have not kicked in yet. It's concerning to me that your baby is still inside of you." And then he said to me, "Well, what do you need us for then? You don't want to do what we want you to do. So just go home and have your baby at home." He literally gave the analogy. He said, "If you were at a bank and a robber came in with a gun, would you hold your kid up and use him as a shield?"
What?
And now I have three doctors telling me that they need to get this baby out because it's been too long. I've turned down inductions. You know, we've had meetings about you. The whole hospital knows about you. They're saying all this stuff. So when I get to the hospital, I was like, "Oh, you're the 42-week mom."
You're the talk of the town.
I'm Cynthia Overgaard, owner of Hypnobirthing of Connecticut, childbirth advocate, and postpartum support specialist.
And I'm Tricia Ludwig, certified nurse midwife and international board-certified lactation consultant.
And this is the Down to Birth podcast.
Childbirth is something we're made to do, but how do we have our safest and most satisfying experience in today's medical culture?
Let's dispel the myths and get down to birth.
Well, I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for having me. This is my first time on a podcast, so this is really exciting. My name is Carolyn. I always forget to introduce myself, but my name is Carolyn, and I have a son who is almost turning one now. So this is about a year ago when I was going through all of this. And I hope that this story provides the listener with, you know, courage to stand up for herself and, you know, educate herself and just really trust herself more through her birth and labor, because that is something I had to do a lot during this entire process, more times than I would like to have. I had to advocate for myself more times than I ever imagined. And I'm the kind of person that I don't just wing things. Like I went in there prepared, you know, I'm an Enneagram 3. So like, I want to make sure I knew what was, not that you could plan for everything, but I wanted to make sure, you know, I was educated. I took a breastfeeding course because I'm like, well, this is a new skill. I need to make sure I know what I'm doing. I read all the books. I did all the meditations. I made a belief plan for myself. Like I literally went above and beyond. I had the most picture perfect pregnancy. I exercised until I had him, like from the day I found out till the day I had him. I was moving my body every day. I was fueling my body with all the healthy foods and nutrition and taking all the supplements. I had zero health concerns or issues the entire time. I was the crazy woman who loved being pregnant. Like I loved every minute of it. I have no complaint about it. I loved it. I enjoyed it so much. And it was just such a beautiful experience for me. I was so mentally prepared and so confident. I kept reminding myself, like, I was born for this. My body was created to do this, all these things. And then I knew the number one thing I did not want was an unnecessary induction. I knew I didn't want to have an induction unless it was absolutely medically necessary. I wanted to have as natural of a birth as possible. I wanted to have a vaginal delivery. Like those were my non-negotiables going into it. I know that there, you know, you have to have some room for flexibility. You know, I've heard other women tell me you go in with a plan and then, you know, it doesn't always happen that way. So like I was prepared for that, but I wasn't prepared for the experience I had in the OB prior to having my son. What they scheduled an induction for me without me even like knowing that they did this. I went to the OB, I got handed a paper when I signed in and it said your induction date. And I'm like, wait, what the heck is this? Like, I didn't schedule this. And they're like, well, they scheduled it for you. I was like, well, I never had the conversation with them that this is what we were doing. So like, no, don't sign me up for this. Like, I'm not doing it.
When was your induction scheduled for? At what week in pregnancy?
Yeah. So it was scheduled for 40 weeks and 5 days. And I was like, you're not even letting me get to like the full 41. Like also due dates are estimates. I've had no health concerns. My blood pressure is great. Like I had no reason for them to be like, okay, we need to get this baby out other than maybe like the weekend was coming up or whatever. And it was around the holidays as well. You know, I was going into like December, January, like my due date was in January end of January. So it was like the new year and everyone just trying to like get the babies out or whatever. So I was like, no, we're fine. We're cool. So I denied that. They tried again. I turned it down again. And then I, at this point now I'm 41 weeks and 6 days. And I was hoping I didn't have to go back to the OB. I was hoping and praying that, you know, I'd have my baby by now and everything would be great. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. And looking back, I feel like I probably shouldn't have even gone to the OB that day. I could have spared myself the trauma, but I went anyway. And I get there and literally all the confidence I had built up, all the things I had done to like really build myself up, I felt like I was stomped on in an instant because I walk in, I see a doctor who I wasn't even supposed to be seeing that day. And found out later, I saw him specifically because they figured he would scare me enough to like do what they wanted me to do. So he's
the closer.
I mean, I walk in, I'm like all like feeling great and excited. You know, I'm still pregnant and everything's going well. And he says to me word for word, and every time I share this, people think I'm making it up because it's like that ridiculous. But he says to me, "So why are you still pregnant?"
Yeah, I've heard that before.
And I'm like,
like, why did you let this happen? Why did we get to this point? Why are we sitting and talking at this point?
Exactly. Basically, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
He's trying to get you to feel.
That's so incredible. Yeah. So he said that. So this is at your, did you say your 40 week?
I was 41 and 6 days.
Oh, you were 41 and six. Yeah. Okay. And he said, "So why are you still pregnant?
Why are you still pregnant?" Yeah. Okay.
What did you say?
Well, I didn't know what to, how you respond to that, right? I was like, well, I haven't had my baby yet. Maybe that's why. Like, I literally was so shocked that those words were even coming out of his mouth, but it didn't stop there. He essentially said to me, "I'm surprised your motherly instincts have not kicked in yet. It's concerning to me that your baby is still inside of you. What a terrible mother you are." Meanwhile, like, my fiance is sitting in the room with me, like looking like he was about to jump out of the chair. He was so livid. And I mean, I'm just like, I don't even know how to react at this point and everything. Like, I was just so overwhelmed with like, what the heck is going on? And then he said to me, "Well, what do you need us for then? You don't want to do what we want you to do. So just go home and have your baby at home."
Wow. Okay. So why are you still pregnant? We've heard that before. I want to really point out that his saying to you, "I'm surprised your motherly instincts haven't kicked in yet," that's actually an incredibly dangerous thing he said to you. That's really harmful. And
that
dangerous.
Would qualify
it's
as
absolute. It's psychological abuse.
It's emotional abuse. Yeah.
It's emotional abuse because here's what happens. As soon as first time moms give birth, they spend the first few weeks, if not months, at feeling like a fraud sometimes because they have no clue what they're doing. And they're convinced, even though they're doing everything basically perfectly, basically all the time, they're convinced they're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. And for him to say, "I'm surprised your instincts didn't kick in yet," how dare he say that to you? As if he knows the first thing about motherly instincts.
He's a man.
And it was your instinct that was protecting you from him. But that voice in your head, if we put that voice in women's heads before, right before they have their babies, that will skyrocket harm to women, skyrocket postpartum depression, guilt, shame.
Yeah.
I'm really
upset.
That's
the tactic. That is exactly the intention. That's the tactic. Yeah. Succumb.
And then I have to ask you, I can't believe he said that, but I also have to ask you, did he literally say you're a terror? Can you just tell us literally without, I don't want you to paraphrase. What did he literally say along the lines of "terrible mother"? Because I don't want to exaggerate it and I don't want to.
Yeah. Well, it's going to sound like I'm making it up because we were both shocked that these words came out of his mouth, but he literally gave the analogy. He said, "If you were at a bank and a robber came in with a gun, would you hold your kid up and use him as a shield?"
What?
I'm not even joking. Like, it sounds so made up because it's that ridiculous, but he literally said that. And I like didn't even know how to respond to that because I'm like, in what universe is that even okay to speak to someone who is about to have a baby? And to even if I wasn't about to have a baby, how could you speak to another human being in that way? No, and like
those things aren't even in the same universe.
No.
I mean, that is in a horrible analogy.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Mm-mm. And it's cruel.
Yeah. What age group was this doctor in? What generation is he?
Well, he was older. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, he had gray hair and he was the oldest one in the OB office.
There he was probably like was classes. Younger than he looked because he's an asshole.
Possibly.
Stop being an asshole and you'll look 10 years younger.
Yeah.
Just wow. This is great. Okay. So he didn't say you're a terrible mother. He strongly indicated it because he implied you're holding up your infant to shield you. The remarkable thing is you were the shield in between your infant and him.
Yeah.
That was actually what was going on. So
yeah,
you're there taking punches in defense of your baby and trying to protect your baby. So
yeah. And I did say to him, I was like, I would honestly feel like my motherly instinct has kicked in because I am not allowing you to take this baby out of me when you want to.
Did you say that?
I did. And he didn't like it.
No, but I bet.
Too bad. Because I didn't like what he said to me. So,
so right? You said touche.
I was like, okay, well, you know what? They wanted me to do like a non-stress test. They wanted me to do an ultrasound just to check on baby. And I was fine with that. But I had already like checked into the office and everything. And then he tried to tell me, well, you're going to go have those two tests done at the hospital. And I was like, no, I'm having them done here because I'm not dumb. And I know if I go to the hospital, I'm not leaving the hospital. So
that's right.
No, thank you. We're doing them here. Or I'm just going to go home. Like, that's literally what I told him because at that point I was like, no. Like, you're not going to fool me. Right. So we had them done there. The ultrasound, perfection, like checked out perfect. Baby was head down, ready to come out. Fluid was clear. Everything looked perfect. Placenta.
What a disappointment to the doctor, probably.
Yeah.
Right, what did he have to say to that?
Well, the thing is, the ultrasound tech decided it would be a wonderful time to share a horror story with me about her friend who went 42 weeks and her baby aspirated meconium and died.
Unbelievable.
So like, shoot me when I'm down, right? I'm like, okay, like trying not to, you know, I'm just thankful I did all of the mindset stuff I did beforehand, because I feel like it would have been a lot harder. It was still difficult, but it would have been a lot harder for me to like continue to like stand my ground if I didn't do any of that stuff ahead of time. Like if I had just gone in there blindly and was like, okay, whatever, like it definitely would have turned out different than it did. But yeah, the ultrasound was great. Everything was perfect.
was there any part of you that believed that something that you might be putting your baby in danger? Or was there any part of you that was scared, or were you full on just, I trust my motherly instinct. I know this is okay.
Yeah.
My face.
Well, the data backed me up that like they could visually see that nothing was wrong. And I felt like they kept trying to tell me he's going to be so big. He's going to be so big. You're not going to be able to have him. You're going to have a C-section anyway, if you wait too long. But I wasn't that big. Like I could feel like, I'm very in tune with my body, and I could tell like he wasn't that big because I could kind of feel him. Like I did like belly mapping. I could feel him. I could feel him inside me. I like physically saw how much I had gained. And like, I just knew in my mind, there was not a 10-pound baby in there. Like, okay, like this is a normal average size human. And I was not worried that he was going to be too big. I was not worried that like something was wrong. I felt like if something was wrong, I would know. Like I would just know something was not right. So no. And that's why I was getting like, I don't know if I can say it, but I was getting pissed off that they kept like trying to scare me and trying to like do all these things and make me feel like I was not making the right decision. But I kept reminding myself that, you know, I've got this, we've got this. Like I was communicating with him and my baby every day. And I just knew like we were going to get to the finish line. We were going to do it.
You had absolute trust because you trust your body.
And
that's a skill that, you know, takes a lot of practice throughout lifetime to master or even get good at, which many of us don't have, but, and that's, you know, that battle then goes on between fear and intuition. Which one do I trust? Because fear and intuition can be very easily confused, but you knew your intuition was on and you trusted it.
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at it is you can go by faith or you can go by fear. And you can't see either of those things, right? You can't see fear. You can't see faith. So why would you want to go that way? Why would you want to be led by fear when faith is just so much better? It feels better. It's just like, I don't know. I just felt like I just felt very confident that what I was doing was right. I kept reminding myself that. And, you know, the data that I had from the ultrasound confirmed that all was well. But then we did the non-stress test, and that's when things kind of got a little crazy.
Carolyn, just quickly before you proceed with that, your fiance, what's his name?
Taylor.
What is it, Taylor?
Taylor, yeah. We call him Tay, but Taylor.
Okay. What did his friends call him Tay? So,
yeah.
What did Tay say? What did he looked like he was going to jump out of the chair. What happened? Did he say anything at all? And back to the doctor visit, what did he say anything at all?
Yeah, he asked him to leave the room. He said,
he asked the doctor to leave the room?
Yes. Yeah, he said, can you leave the room? We need a minute.
And what happened?
And he left the room, thankfully, because he left the room. He actually left the room to ask if I was allowed to have the test done at the office instead of the hospital.
Okay, got it.
So you don't
have to. That's a great strategy. A great strategy is to get time and space, because what happens is they ask you questions, you feel on the spot, you feel pressured, they're looking at you. Mm-hmm. And then we forget, even in the hospital, even mid-birth, we can say, can you leave us alone? We need to talk. And exactly, they have to. They have to leave you alone. Okay. So can
gives,
we now...
Gives his ego a minute to settle down too.
Oh, if that'll ever happen. and it's also interesting. I just wanted to comment on the fact that you showed up and he said, so why are you still pregnant? Which is a common one. Mm-hmm. I want to just remind everyone that when you watch politicians in an interview, which is always a waste of time and it's always infuriating, you know, as soon as they're asked a good question, they go, what really matters is such and such. And they change the, you know, they change the subject entirely. You can hold them to something that they stand for. They'll be like, what matters is jobs. Like, they just take control of the conversation, and it's a skill that they learn. And we forget sometimes that when we're in a conversation with someone and we really have to protect ourselves, you know, presumably this is not in your intimate relationships or a trusted relationship, but when you're in a situation like that, you have to remember that the person asking questions is seeking to control the conversation. You're the client. You get to show up. You get to ask them your questions. For you to walk in and they're asking you questions, mm-hmm, it's like, it's not a court scene. You don't have to answer anything. You're there because you need information from them. They don't need information from you. So when they say, why are you still pregnant? You can be like, look, doctor, the important thing is, or the reason I'm here is that you don't actually have to answer it. As uncomfortable as it is, mm-hmm, you don't have to answer a question that's asked of you.
Yeah.
We feel we do. We're like, I didn't know what to say. So I said this. You don't have to say anything to that. You can regain, mm-hmm, control of the conversation. This guy is a skilled, you know, he's a skilled, whatever he wants to be, politician.
He's the closer. That's why they put him, gave you that appointment.
Exactly. Yeah. He could be an attorney. Yep. He could be a politician. Some people have, they have that gift and they use it against people rather than in building rapport in their relationships. They're using it against people. Okay. So we're up to your non-stress test. You're still 41 weeks and 6 days.
Yeah. Same this day? Is all the same doctor visit. Okay. All of this.
Okay.
This
wow.
Happening one after the other, after the other. Okay. So they did the ultrasound first. And like I said, it checked out perfect. Everything was fine. Fluid was clear. Placenta looked great. Baby was head down, ready to go. So I'm like, okay, great. So we do the non-stress test. And this is the second time I've done this because they made me do one the week prior and everything was fine. And they let me go home. But this time I was attached to the machine for about maybe 3 minutes. They want you to stay on there for 20. And I was on for about 3 minutes. I'm like in this chair in a very uncomfortable position, like in the worst position, reclined. So like sitting on my tailbone, essentially. So like, I don't know, baby's probably not in the greatest, most comfortable position if I'm not.
And probably your baby's sitting on their cord.
Hey there, all you amazing, strong, and beautiful women, especially you new moms and moms-to-be. I'm Taylor, co-founder and CEO of Vitality.
And I'm Taylor's sister, Chloe, co-founder and chief design officer.
We started Vitality to encourage and empower everyone to live a vibrant life. We're all about supporting women, especially on the journey to motherhood.
When I was pregnant, I really struggled to find comfy leggings that I could wear all day, every day. So we set out to make the best maternity pants out there. We took those pain points and designed pieces that were supportive and comfortable, including details like a high-rise fit, underbelly seam, raw-cut hems, and to top it off, we have an embedded silicone panel that acts like a built-in suspension system for your low back, which is the first of its kind.
So we designed this line in our Marshmallow Soft Cloud 2 fabric in not only a maternity pant, but a volley and biker short as well.
Let me tell you, all of these pieces are a game changer.
Just go to shopvitality.com.
And cherry on top, you guys can use code DOWNTOBIRTH at checkout to get 10% off your order.
10% off athleisure, designed for pregnancy, during pregnancy.
Down to Birth is sponsored by Postpartum Soothe. Recovering from a vaginal birth takes many women by surprise. Everyday activities like sitting, walking, and going to the bathroom can be uncomfortable. And Postpartum Soothe is just the remedy to support your healing and relieve discomfort. Postpartum Soothe is a 100% organic herbal blend that's applied to maternity pads in the days immediately following your birth, giving you all the benefits of a sitz bath 24/7. That's because herbs like comfrey leaf, uva ursi, and witch hazel are known for their antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory properties. Postpartum Soothe can be prepared anytime during the third trimester, and it makes a beautiful baby gift. It's a must for any woman seeking a faster, easier recovery from a vaginal birth. Visit postpartumsoothe.com. That's postpartumsoothe, SOOTHE.com, and use promo code DOWNTOBIRTH.
Did you know that 97% of women take a prenatal vitamin, yet 95% of us are still deficient in key nutrients for pregnancy and postpartum? After a long time searching for the optimal prenatal nutrition product, we bring you Needed, a radically better prenatal vitamin. Needed's nutritional products offer nutrients that your body can utilize with doses at optimal versus bare minimum levels and are available in capsules and an easy-to-take vanilla powder, perfect for those moms with pill fatigue or nausea. Needed is a woman-founded company offering a superior nutritional product lineup backed by research, data, and insights from nearly 4,000 women's health experts. Needed offers premium supplements for every stage, from egg quality support for women trying to conceive to lactation support for breastfeeding. And you know, Cynthia and I, we love their botanical sleep and relaxation support packets before bedtime. So if you are looking for a radically different prenatal, head on over to thisisneeded.com and enter Down to Birth for 20% off your first order.
Yes. So what had happened was, 3 minutes on the machine, the door was shut. This is like the tiniest room. It's like a small room. And Tay is sitting in front of me in the chair. Like his knees are almost hitting the little table that I'm on. And the doctor comes barging in the room. Hospital now. You're going to the hospital now. That's all he said. And I was like, why? Could you please explain to me why I need to go to the hospital now? Like, and of course, I'm just like, shaking too, because that's like jarring. You're just sitting there chill, and then next thing you know, someone comes barging in telling you you need to go to the hospital now. And he said, I don't like that tracing. That's it.
Ooh, I don't like. That's the famous I don't like. The famous rhetorical I don't like.
So
beware
I asked
of those words. Beware of
those
words.
What specifically do you not like about it? Because I wanted to know, because I'm the annoying patient. It's according to them. Like, I want to know, like, I'm not going to just take your word for it. What don't you like about it? And he was like, the heart rate's going down. Like it's going up and down. And I'm like, that seems normal to me. Right. Wow. It doesn't abate. Like I'm laying on my tailbone. I'm contracting. I'm feeling contractions. And my baby's heart rate is, you know, heart rate variability, which was later confirmed at the hospital by this nurse who was like, fantastic. Wow, your baby's heart rate variability is great. He is such a strong baby in there.
So you were in that moment, same doctor came in and did this. He just wouldn't give up on you. You were his little project for the day. He was standing behind the closed door listening, waiting to burst in and declare that he didn't like something. Okay. And then you were lying back, not a good position. You're right, but it's temporary. You're lying back. You said this. What happened next? You said you ended up in the hospital, but just, and you also said you felt contractions, but you weren't in labor yet.
So no, I wasn't in labor yet. So I guess one doctor wasn't enough. So another one came in and another one came in. So now there's three doctors in there and I'm still in this like very vulnerable position here, strapped to a machine. And now I have three doctors telling me that they need to get this baby out because it's been too long. I've turned down inductions. You know, we've had meetings about you. The whole hospital knows about you. They're saying all this stuff. So when I get to the hospital, I was like, oh, you're the 42-week mom.
You're the talk of the town.
This is crazy. Unbelievable.
So now there's three of them in there. And then so there we have this, we have man. Well, I don't know what we want to refer to him as, but maybe, as you said, asshole. We have him. Right. And then we have
asshole number one.
Asshole number one. And then we have another doctor who is on call for that day who says, oh no, I wouldn't even induce you. I'd give you a C-section right now. Asshole number two, right? And then another doctor who was in there, I guess just because she was there for the day and they just wanted to be strength in numbers. I don't know. So I took a picture of the tracing on my phone and I emailed it to my doctor, who's also my son's pediatrician. She's a family doctor, but she's just not like any old doctor. She is a published author in like labor and delivery space. She's an IBCLC. Like I trust her. I trust her over the doctors that day. And she literally emailed me back and said, if you're not at the hospital yet, go home. Because my guess is they're just trying to scare you. That looks absolutely normal. Go home and relax.
Wow.
That's what she told me via email. Thank goodness for technology. Because like,
so did you get that while you were still there in the visit?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So you didn't go to the hospital?
No. So I went home.
How did they respond to you going home?
Well, I think they thought I was going to the hospital and I just didn't. Because the hospital was right across the street. I was like, okay, well, I'm going. And they're like, all right, we'll see you there. And I'm like, okay, you probably won't. And then I just went home. Like, no, I'm not. I just didn't feel like, also at the time, then I was kind of thinking like, do I want to go to that hospital anymore? Do I want to have my baby there? Do I want to maybe find another one? I'm like literally about to have this baby, trying to make all these decisions. And the hospital, though, was like a completely different environment than the OB. So, I mean, I chose that hospital specifically for a reason because they are the best in the area. I mean, I drove an hour to go to this hospital. So, like, I stuck firmly with my choice there. And I'm really glad that I did. But I'm just also really glad that it was a different environment than that OB's office that day. Because if it wasn't, it would have been more traumatic than it needed to be.
Why did you say you felt contractions when you're at the non-stress test?
Because like I could feel them. Like, well, yeah, I was having like Braxton Hicks, and then it was like two little like things. So the one thing was like the contractions, like you could see the contractions. And then the one other little circle thing was the baby's heart rate. So it was like a double monitor, and one was monitoring the contractions. And then the other one was monitoring the baby's heart rate. And there were lines for both.
What you were having was uterine activity. Just uterine activity. It's like a Braxton Hicks. It's not a labor contraction. Mm-hmm. It's not a contraction that's causing cervical dilation. It's just uterine activity.
Yeah. I was far from labor at that point. I was not even dilated. So
you went home, and how many more days?
Yeah. So I went home. We went for a walk on the beach. We bought some adult coloring books and just colored. Like, we did all the things to just like, whatever, like, let's try to not remember this traumatic experience. Although like, I firmly believe that if I didn't go in that day and have that happen, I would have went into labor on my own that like next day or so. And I would have had my baby and it would have been like completely different. But I really felt like my body kind of like tightened up and closed up a little bit from that. So that night I actually had a conversation with my son. You know, I had my hands on my belly and I was telling him, I know that was scary. You know, that man was scary. He was not nice to us, but you know, it's not scary out here. You know, I've got you, we've got this. So we had that conversation and I felt like, I mean, if I was shooken up, he definitely was too. So I wanted to make sure he knew it was safe to come out, and not everybody out here is like that man. It's, you know, it's nicer out here too, but he really liked being in there, I guess. So I ended up, the hospital ended up calling me. They called me for my first induction that I already told them I wasn't coming to. I guess they figured if they just kept like assuming I was going to come, I would just go. But they had called me for that one for 40 weeks and 5 days. And they're like, oh, we just want to let you know, like we're a little backed up. So if you can come in a little later. And I was like, I'm not coming at all. So like, I don't know why I'm still on the list. Like you can take my name off. I'm not coming. But they called again. This was like the day after the OB traumatic experience. And they said they wanted to schedule an induction. And at this point I was like, all right, well, I'm getting past the 42 weeks. Like nothing is really like progressing at all. I also just had a really traumatic experience. My body's probably like tightening up and like, I don't want to get to the point where it's like, okay, well now it's dangerous. That's just kind of like what I was thinking. And also like my brain was like, mush because I had to make so many decisions and everything was just firing at me. So I was like, you know what, let me just schedule it. But in my mind, it was like, I'm not going to have to go anyway, but let me just schedule it. You know, let's just schedule it, you know, and everything will just kind of work how it's supposed to. And I woke up Sunday morning, which was induction day, and I was still pregnant. You know, like when you go past your due date, you wake up every morning, you're like, oh, I'm still pregnant. You know, you wake up and the next day, oh, still pregnant, you know, and it was like, how many more days am I going to wake up? Okay, I'm still pregnant. So I scheduled it and we went to church that morning. I was actually wearing this sweatshirt, which is funny. We went to church and I don't normally go up to the altar for prayer. I've seen people do it before, but I don't normally do it. But just something made me feel like I needed to do it that day. So we went up there, Tay and I went up there. We met this amazing woman and we see her every week now. And she prayed over me and she put her hands on my belly and she prayed over my son and she started speaking in tongues. And it was just like this crazy experience. And she ended up telling me like she was one of the first women in like this at the hospital where she had her son to have a successful VBAC, which I thought was really cool. Like of all the people up there for me to go up to and like ask for prayer, I randomly chose this woman and she made me like feel really comfortable with going in that day.
That was a little divine guidance right there.
Yeah. It's just, and it continued, which is the coolest part. So we're on our way to the hospital. I still didn't want to go, but like I knew I had to go, I guess, at this point. And I was like, let's get some food because I don't know the next time I'm going to be able to eat a really great meal. So let's go get some Italian food on the way. And I opened up the little container, like the foil with the plastic top. And there was a little heart of marinara sauce, just like on the lid of the container. And I was like,
oh my gosh,
sweet. Right. And then when I went in to pick up the food though, I told you, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I made a playlist for my son and I listened to it the whole time I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And it's great because it helps him like take naps now. So if you're pregnant and you want a little tip there, make a playlist of all like your favorite songs and listen to it all the time and your baby will love it. But I walked in and the song Mama's Boy was playing, a country song, and in an Italian restaurant. And that was like one of the top songs on this playlist. And I was like, that's interesting. Like it just kept pointing me like I was making the right choice. Things were lining up. And then our check number was 127. And I see 27 everywhere. My birthday is 27. Tay's birthday is actually the 12th. So 1-2. And then mine is the 7th. And I'm like, okay, like we're good. Like God's got us. We're good. Everything's going to be okay. So that was like super cool.
Wow. That's really
synchronicities.
Neat.
Love that. When you pay attention and you start tapping into that stuff, it really, you really do see that there is a higher power guiding you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You trusted.
Yes, I trusted. And so that was on the way to the hospital. I got there. It was really late. It was like Sunday night. And I actually, I called ahead because it's a rotating practice, right? And I wanted to make sure asshole number one and asshole number two were not going to be delivering my baby. So I called ahead and they told me number two was coming in on Wednesday and number three was coming in on Thursday. So I was like, okay, so the goal is in my mind, like I set a goal. Okay. we've got to have the baby out before Wednesday. Like, and I know that's like probably pressure I didn't need to put on myself. But I also knew it was probably better to not have to experience either of them again. So I told myself, okay, baby's going to be born before Wednesday. My birthday was on Tuesday. So I'm like, maybe we're going to share a birthday. Right? I turned 31 and don't even remember it because I was in labor the whole day. So they started me with, as soon as I got there, they popped that monitor on me, the continual feel monitor, which I wasn't too thrilled about because I know that like when you have that, they're just like obsessive over like every little thing. But thankfully, there was only one time where like six nurses came running in and were like, oh my God, like what's going on? And I just went to go use the bathroom. And I guess when I peed and my bladder emptied, the baby moved and sat on his cord. Like that's all it was. But luckily they were able to like, you know, well, let's try this position. Let's try this position. They didn't jump to the conclusion that, oh my God, the baby, like something is so terribly wrong. Like they assessed the situation and everything was fine. So I was thankful that it ended up that way, but they put it on as soon as they got there. I had that thing on for 3.5 days because it took me that long to get him out. So we started with the Cervidil. They chose that option because it was the least invasive. They said if he has any adverse side effects, we could just rip it out and it's out of your system. Whereas other things like drugs and things like that, it's kind of hard to get them out quickly. So we started with that. 12 hours, I moved a whole half a centimeter. It's like, woo, we've got some movement going. And then they were like, do you want to do it again? And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that again for another 12 hours if we've got a half a centimeter. So like, what are my options? And we did a membrane sweep, which hindsight, I wish I could have had that done earlier than when I did, but can't go back and change that. So I had that done. Things started moving along. Then they gave me Cytotec, which I wasn't too thrilled about, but I only had to take like maybe two of them. And then I was like, I think it's working enough. We don't need to keep taking these. So like, it's good enough. Cause I mean, from what the research I've done, it comes in a black box and it says not to use during pregnancy, which is a little sketchy.
Because it will do exactly what it does and open the cervix and dilate. So
yeah,
it does have risks.
It's not FDA approved for that purpose. And it is linked to some very serious risks. So some hospitals have even banned Cytotec.
Yeah.
And others are using them. And even home birth midwives love it sometimes. I mean, it's all over the board.
Okay. I was still a little, I don't like taking anything. So I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like I'm the person that doesn't take Tylenol. I won't take any of the things unless it's like 100% absolutely necessary. And it's usually not.
Cytotec scares me. I mean, they're all worth thinking long and hard about. So
where were you now in your pregnancy? How many days, weeks?
42. I was 42 weeks on the Saturday. So I was 42-1 when I checked in and started the induction.
Okay.
Because I was there for so long with each nurse that came in, the shift change, I had to continuously have these cervical exams, which was like the absolute worst part of the entire thing. I had like all the things though. Like I had a comb, I had essential oils, I had a bag of ice that was holding on my forehead. I was like, I am doing this unmedicated. I am not going to get the epidural. I'm going to do this unmedicated. I'm like, I'm a person who does what she says she's going to do. But then eventually it got to the point where I was like, okay, I got from 0 to 7 all on my own, unmedicated. I'm like almost at the point where I'm like, okay, this is absolute torture. Maybe it's not the worst thing in the world because the alternative, you know, like would be like, I don't want a C-section. And I know sometimes when you do the epidural, it could slow things down. And I just, it was going through my head and I couldn't make decisions. I had decision fatigue. Like it was just so many decisions I had to make. And my nurse said to me, and this has stuck with me since I've had my son, and I use it like all the time. She said, you cannot make the wrong decision, but you do have to make a decision. And I was like, okay. So like trusting the decision I'm going to make, I went with the epidural. I joke, I got an epidural for my birthday and I was contracting while this was getting like stuck in my back because I had waited so long. And thankfully everything worked out okay with the epidural, and I was able to sleep a little bit because I needed to, because I was going on like, this was like Tuesday and I got there Sunday. So I'm like 2.5 days almost into this thing. And I'm like, this baby has got to come out. They did end up before the epidural, they did break my water and there was meconium. So it's like one thing after another, right? And so that was a little freaky. And the one nurse did tell me though, like it is normal. We see it all the time. Don't panic. It's okay. Like it's not the end. It's not the end of the world. So that made me feel better.
Finding the perfect pregnancy and breastfeeding bra is no easy task. Your search is now over. Meet Davin and Adley, a mother-owned pumping, nursing, and maternity bra company with a unique, comfortable, and stylish cropped cami. This item is perfect to wear all day long from day one of your pregnancy right through the end of your breastfeeding journey and probably beyond. The Amelia cami makes pumping and breastfeeding easy while looking and feeling good on your body. It works seamlessly for both wearable pumps and flange pumps, and you can breastfeed in it. It also has a beautiful stretch lace back. You can sleep in it, dress up in it, go out in it, whatever you want to do in it. And trust us, the quality in this item and all of their items are top notch. They're soft, durable, and attractive. These bras will truly go the distance. Davin and Adley carry a gorgeous selection of maternity and nursing wear, and they have an innovative one-piece breast pad that we've never seen anywhere else. So no more losing those solo breast pads, ladies. Go ahead and check out the full collection of maternity and nursing items at davinandadley.com and use your promo code DOWNTOBIRTH to save 15%. All right, breastfeeding moms, do you want to know one of our all-time favorite items for your nursing journey? If you know us, you probably could guess it. Yep, it's the Silverette Nursing Cup. These little nipple heroes not only protect, but also heal because they're made of real silver. It is naturally antimicrobial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory. These little cups will be your best friend in the early sensitive weeks of breastfeeding your baby. And our favorite part is they last literally forever. You can pass them on just like you would a favorite piece of jewelry. Head on over to silveretteusa.com and use promo code DOWNTOBIRTH to save 15%.
It is really common for babies to do that, to pass meconium in labor, especially if there's some stress in labor from a medication like Cytotec.
Yeah. I had thought maybe the doctor visit made him do that. You know, maybe that stressed him out a little bit too. So yeah, the days were passing though. And I tried not to watch the clock, but I'm like, okay, well, we're getting close to Wednesday and that lady is coming in and I don't want to see her. And I didn't want to use anything. Like they offered me intravenous drugs. I'm like, no, like that passes the placenta. No, thank you. Like I knew all the things, but I ended up getting the absolute lowest dose of Pitocin to get me to the like where I was able to push, because I didn't want to risk having to do it with this doctor. But unfortunately, it is now Wednesday, the shift changed, and that doctor was coming in. But thankfully for me, God had my back, because the doctor who was there the day before, I expressed to her my concerns, and she stayed a whole nother shift to deliver my baby. Like she didn't have to do that. So I am thankful for her. Yeah. And her kindness to stay and be there for me in that moment when I needed someone who I could trust and depend on. So
continuity of care. She understands the value of it. Yeah. And she probably knew she was needed.
Yeah.
She probably knew she was an asset to you that whole time.
She probably knew that other doctor was an a-hole. Maybe. And she didn't really have to experience that.
Yeah. Thank goodness. So I got to the point where I was able to push. Like we did all the things. I'm like dancing around the room. We're doing the peanut ball. We're doing the like big yoga ball. I took a sheet and threw it over the door and I'm like making my own Robazo. I'm like, I'm doing all the things and nothing is working. So eventually we did get to the point where like, okay, we stretched to the 10, let's push. It took me 4 hours to push this baby out. I said like 3 to 4, like it's hard to remember exact time, but it was a long time. And all I knew was, they told me when my water was broken, I had 24 hours to deliver this baby. And I was coming up on 23.5 hours. I had him 23.5 hours. He decided, okay, let's be born.
That's not evidence-based. but well, they were imposing that on me for that deadline.
Yeah. Yeah. They told me that. And I was like, okay, well, that puts more pressure on me, but okay. But thankfully he did decide to be born before then. So I was pushing. It was, that was the coolest part though. Like, I can't wait to do it again. Like, that was the coolest part for me. Getting to see him coming out with the mirror. They asked me if I wanted a mirror and I got to see all his little hair. And I was like, oh my gosh, like he's actually there. And it was so encouraging because I could see the finish line. I could see the baby. Like, we were almost there, even though it took 3 or 4 hours, I felt like I was right there. And, you know, pushing is pushing. It took a while, but I got to the point where like he would not just pop out and pop back in. He would like pop out and stay there. So I was like, okay, we got this. And it was getting really close, like I said, and the doctor had asked me, can I give you an episiotomy? And I said, not unless it's absolutely necessary. And at this point, I do not believe it is. And I said, give me one more push. Let me push one more time. And I don't know from where this came from, but Mama Bear, I pushed as hard as I could and he came flying out of my body. I thought he was going to fly off the table. It was the craziest feeling. Like, I can't even explain it, but then you're like, what the heck just happened? Right? You're just laying there. You're exhausted. You look like, I mean, my photos after birth are not cute, which I was like in and out of the shower, messy bun. My hair was a mess. I've got like mascara running down my face. Like, I look like crazy, but I achieved my goal of having my baby vaginally when I was told multiple times I was going to have a C-section. I was going to have a C-section. And let me share with you, my baby was 7 pounds and 5 ounces.
7 pounds, 5 ounces. That does not sound like a 42 plus baby. There's so much error in due date calculation. Did you have any concerns that your due date may actually have been much later?
I did actually. I was like, you know what? This doesn't seem right to me. And I know, like, I knew the exact day that I conceived. So I knew it was not correct.
And how far off was that from your
About 2 weeks. Due date?
Oh my God. Seriously?
Yes.
You knew your conception date and your due date would have been 2 weeks later based on your conception date?
Yeah, but they were going by the size of the baby in me and generally.
That is where we go so wrong. Yeah. Women's menstrual cycles are not the same and women have a wide variation in when they ovulate relative to their last menstrual, first day of their last menstrual cycle, which is what the due date is calculated on. Mm-hmm. It is so atypical for a baby to be born beyond 42 weeks and be in the 7 pound range. Your due date was wrong.
Yeah. There's no way that could have been correct, because honestly, actually after the fact, the lactation consultant came in to help me with breastfeeding, which he latched right away. He's an excellent breastfeeder. Thankfully, I didn't have any issues with that. She looks at him and looks at me and says, okay, so I used to work in the NICU and he does not look like the 42 week babies that I've
seen there. That's right. When you look at a baby after birth, you can assess their gestational age quite well. And it's so frustrating because all of that you went through was because of some date that somebody gave you erroneously in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was like, the next time I'm not telling people when I'm due.
Well, I have a question. Looking back now. Mm-hmm. And knowing that when he was born and looking at his gestational assessment after birth, would you have avoided that induction? Would you have just continued to let yourself go until labor spontaneously started?
If I knew 100% that date was wrong, like if I knew what I knew after, I would have waited. Yeah.
So what do you want to tell first time moms?
Okay. Well, first time moms, definitely do your research, educate yourself. Don't go into it blindly. Trust yourself. Understand the importance of advocating for yourself, because if you don't, nobody else is going to for you. It's your body and it's your baby. And no matter what anyone tells you, like, you are the one who makes that ultimate decision. Like, no doctor can tell you what you must do. You get to decide. And that choice is always going to be yours, not anybody else's.
Thanks for joining us at the Down to Birth Show. You can reach us at Down to Birth Show on Instagram or email us at contact@downtobirthshow.com.
All of Cynthia's classes and Trisha's breastfeeding services are held live, online, serving women and couples everywhere.
Please remember, this information is made available to you for educational and informational purposes only. It is in no way a substitute for medical advice. For our full disclaimer, visit downtobirthshow.com/disclaimer. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, hear everyone and listen to yourself.
It's the most empowering thing you will ever do as a woman, have a baby. And that's like, I mean, men can't do that. Like, we're the only people who can do that. It's only women can do that. And you're so much stronger than you actually like give yourself credit for. And I think that has really taught me that.
Birth teaches you that.
Yeah.
Birth really makes you feel like Superwoman.
It truly does.